everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up. I am your conservative Latino here to expose the lies of the left and speak God-honest truths. Hello, everybody. I hope everybody's had a great week. It's been a very busy week. Lots to talk about. First of all, you can find this podcast, Fired Up, as well as our other libertarian political podcasts, our sports podcasts, and if you're into sports, our specific sports such as our NBA podcast, our NFL podcast, those are pure play sports. No politics. If you want politics with sports and the intersectionality of them both, check out my points on the board, where that's all I talk about. Because it's important for you to know the truth. And this Latino, well, I'm just not going to hold back. I've had it. I've had it with seeing the American dream being usurped and turned into lies, turned into the barrio, the ghetto, the trailer park, whatever you want to call it. We are becoming a cesspool here because we are being taught to be victims and to accept as breadcrumbs and be happy with it as the elites get richer and richer. And if you're Latino and black, oh, yeah, they'll let a couple of our kind onto the Democrat plantation, give them some nice little granny flats next to the ivory towers, and their job is a job of overseers to keep us on the plantation. Let me tell you, my friends, this Latino escaped. And if I can, you can too. So, back to what I was saying. I always digress. I apologize. You can find this podcast and all our other podcasts, including my Red, White, and Rude, where we are going to specifically talk on cultural appropriation this week, at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as social media platforms, YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, Pandora, Google, and Apple, all under the profile of Grumblings Media. So, let's get to it today. What are we going to talk about? Well, I'm trying to get my notes here. Oh, whoop. There we go. The California Republican Party Convention. It's been a little while since I've been to one. In fact, the last time I think I went to one was pre-COVID, but it was right around 2018, maybe? And the reason I remember is when I got back from the convention, my mother-in-law had had a stroke, and they were out here for vacation. And her and my father-in-law, well, she ended up staying here for the rest of her life after the stroke. And I think it was a blessing in disguise. She's passed on, as well as her little dog Piper that we got for her that I think was sent to earth to teach me compassion and love. Because when I select my dogs, it's always this kind of, I am into specifically what I want. And Piper was just a little, she was a mutt. That's what it was, a mutt. And she came to this house scared beyond anything I'd ever seen. And I wasn't the nicest person because I knew this would happen. I knew the dog would eventually become ours. But I fell in love with that dog. And to this day, I think of her all the time. And as far as the mother-in-law, those years that she was with us before she passed, I want to say maybe a couple years ago now, brought her and my wife much closer. And God bless my wife. I may not know where I'm headed, but I know where she's headed. She did nothing but take care of her mother and her father, despite all the issues we siblings have with our parents. You know what's funny about America on television? In comedies and dramas that are dark, they always show the dysfunctional family, but they always show them working things out. Well, the reality of the matter is literally every family in America is dysfunctional. Some work it out, some don't. But at the end of the day, what cracks me up are the people who look at their lives and go, oh, I had a great childhood, a perfect childhood. And then you get to know them and like, dad's an alcoholic, you know, brother was in trouble as a juvenile, went to school, dropped out. You know, you hear all these stories. They may not be in jail, you know, but it's like, woo, that's a perfect family. That's happened a couple of times. I used to joke about it to my wife with one of her friends when they told us that. I'm saying, didn't this happen? That happened? That happened? Me? And my wife, we probably admit, yeah, we came from dysfunctional families. That's life. Anyway, so I am set to go to the Republican Party convention, and I want to talk a bit about some of the issues that will be facing the party there. Also, I want to talk about the fact that Oh, words of that, words of that. The fact that, oh man, where's my notes? My notes. Oh, a teen gunman who let loose with an AR-15, 26 rounds in D.C. He was released on bail by a self-confessed woke judge. Imagine that. Imagine that. I also want to talk a little bit local politics, but it does validate the Republican Party and its corruption, its ineptitude. It's this is why we lose with this one example, and it's in my district. And voter fraud. Look, I'm concerned with voter fraud. You know, when all this voter fraud happened during the 2020 election, I didn't say a word because it was a one-way street, a one funnel of just lie after lie after lie after lie. Same thing, no different than the Russia hoax. Lie after lie after lie. I told my partner, I'm not going to debate you on this. Or COVID. Lie after lie after lie after lie. Hey, my partner was the worst of all with those, and I love him to death. He actually told me, William, they never said the vaccine would cure or would prevent you from catching COVID again. Right then, I knew what I was dealing with TDS and the libertarian mindset and how they look at everything. And my partner's smarter than me, and I love him to death, but these are issues that I bring up, not to insult him. It's because that's the norm. That's human nature. That's what those who hate the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, if they're libertarians or the Democrat Party that hates the Republican Party, they're just willing to not bother to investigate, not bother to research. They hear or see a headline, and they're experts all of a sudden. And when you're never challenged, see, that's the other thing is, when you are never challenged, you start to believe the lie. I always look for that debate, that battle, because I'm itching to destroy somebody with facts. Well, not itching, but, you know, I like to call people out who are bullies. That's what it is. I look for the online bullies. I'm like, you want to play that game, that online bully game? I'm there with you, you know? And the other thing is also the debate. You know, Trump and Joe Biden are going to debate. And it's like, oh, my God. And the other story is, as we know, a Colombian drug lord was arrested after operating out of a Texas migrant shelter. Think about that, my friends. Texas migrant shelter. Oh, it's like, oh, my God. At what point do we just start to realize what's happening here? At what point do we start telling ourselves the truth of having all these illegal aliens come in? It's a national security issue. It's a massive influx of Chinese nationals. It's a massive influx of bad individuals. I can't remember his last name. Maybe he's a former Black Panther. His first name is Mason. And Mason, he laid it down with an ugly truth. He said, you don't see white Latinos, blonde hair, blue-eyed Latinos, red-headed Latinos. You don't see any of them crossing the border illegally. It's because they are well off, you know, and it's the poor. And they encourage the criminals to come. Why? There are criminals, not theirs. Mexico actually encourages these illegals to come over, you know, and I'm trying to look for this guy's name. It's Mason, former Black Panther. Mason Weaver. And that's his new name. I guess he had a different one. But at the end of the day, Mason Weaver wrote a great book, It's Okay to Leave the Plantation. And I have it autographed. And that's how I felt. You know, as a former liberal, I left the plantation too. And the point that he made is we are getting the poor and the criminals. Trump was absolutely right. But the mainstream media turned a fact into a lie. And then we're not the only country. In Panama, we got Wild Bill. Wild Bill was a criminal American who crossed the border illegally and started killing expatriates there and taking their land. I think he went through 5 or 6 ugly murders and burying them, you know, right near where he was at before he was caught. So it's not just our border, it's every border. Look at Europe. I mean, they are silently giving their country away. Look, I don't agree with Sharia law. I believe in the Constitution. They're trying to bring that over here. See, so it has nothing to do with me not wanting others here. It has everything to do with others coming in and bringing the crap that they supposedly flee from, or in the case of the cartel, how they make their money into our country and giving being given their blessing by the Democrat Party. That's what all this boils down to. God bless Mason Weaver. He had to learn the hard way. His life was not easy, but he saw the truth. Black Panther in Oakland, California in the 60s. And he was as racist as they come. And he himself will tell you that. But he changed. And if he can change, and I can change, then, my friends, so can you. Okay, so the first topic I want to talk about is the Colombian drug lord arrested after operating out of a Texas migrant shelter. Look, he is just the example. Tom Del Picaro, back, I want to say 2016, himself said it. The border is a national security issue. He was saying it years before others even thought about it. And I had a couple of my friends who were leftists. I don't associate with them anymore. I think the last time one of them caught me up was to borrow money. To borrow money. I'm going to get that bleep out of here, you know? But anyway, this is just an example. They come and they're released. And once they're released, they're not tracked. The cartel, MS-13, again, Chinese nationalists, terrorists from the Middle East, they're all coming through the border. And the border is a massive problem. Now, Biden says, well, it's the Republicans' fault. You know, Biden took almost 100 executive orders that Trump had done to secure the border to remove them. And it was like turning the hose on, full blast, and walking away from it. That's what's happened. What, 11 million? You know, Ann Coulter said, I don't know, 10 years ago now, that there were about 30 million. And she does her research. Look, I'm not a fan of Ann Coulter, but when you read her books, you can't argue and win against her. Period. End of story. Everything's fact checked. There's about 30 million at the time is what she estimated. And because the number of 10 or 11 million we've been using has been from the Reagan era. So she's absolutely correct. There are about 30 million. Add another 10 million. We're looking at 40 million illegals in this country, draining our resources. Black America, Latino America. You want to know why there's a growing separation? All the funds, our taxes that should be helping our people, whether it's filling in potholes, whether it's improving education, whether it's making it more cost effective by reining in the regulations, for you to live as an American. All that's gone. All your money's going elsewhere. And a big chunk of it, billions and trillions when you add it up, is going to support illegals. We are told they are going to get money to go find a job, to get educated, free college, everything. Why? Because we're supposed to be compassionate. But what's happening is they are being given everything off your dime, and you can't afford to send your kid to trade school. I'm not going to say college. You send your kid to college, you're an idiot. Unless you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, there's no reason to send your kid to college. Y para mi latino, eso es más importante que necesita que saber. Why? It's the most important thing you need to know. Because we Latinos look at a college degree as the American dream. And all that immigrant's going to do is get himself into debt they'll never be able to pay off to send their kid to become an indoctrinated swine. That's what it boils down to. So, the whole illegal alien. And that's the term, illegal alien. That is a legal term. They suspended a kid for that. Has not only worsened, we are at a tipping point. So what Biden is doing is trying to say, oh, I got a plan in place. Republicans don't want to pass it. However, we are still while we are still in the wild, wild west regarding technology, we are entering an era where social media, new media, the truth is actually getting out. And we have Elon Musk to thank for that with Twitter, or X rather, now that it's X. God, so dumb. But we're not out of the woods yet. You're seeing the dynamics turning around. There's a reason they want all these illegal aliens to come into this country. It's simple. It's simple logic. If you are drowning in the ocean, and Beelzebub, let's say Mr. Beelzebub, whoop, tosses you a life preserver, For those of you who don't know who Beelzebub is, it's another name for the devil. So if the devil tosses you a life preserver, whether you like him or not or hate him or not, you are indebted to him. And that's what the Democrat Party does. They're the first in line welcoming you. Come on, paisano, mi amigo, my little brown friend. I'm going to show you how to live in America. You mean the American dream, man? No, that's it. What the hell are you talking about? I'm going to teach you how you get $200 free dollars. And then you're going to live off those $200 free dollars. But you guess what? We's fighting for you so you can earn $20 flipping burgers at McDonald's. But Mr. White, Democrat plantation American, I want to get an education so I can better my... Shut up, fool, and just do as I tell you. That's what the Democrats do. And obviously I was being very sarcastic about it, but they show them how to use the system, how to exploit the system. But what they don't teach them or tell them about is what they can actually strive to become. They may say a few words like that, but when they help them find their way, it's so they become dependent on government. And if you're black, you should be mighty worried, because these brown people, my people, my brethren, they're coming over to replace you. Over 30 million African-American babies have been aborted since Roe versus Wade. Y'all hover at 10 to 13%, depending what decade it is. Not growing at all. But we Latinos, we're like cockroaches. And they're using you to support this invasion. And the invasion I'm talking about are people who are going to use the system, may have had dreams about bettering themselves, but falling the line, living in the barrios the rest of their lives. And in the meantime, again, the drug lords, the fentanyl, millions and millions of more death every year. The Chinese nationals. You know what the Chinese have done? They will send their women, hold them up in a hotel. Oh, no, not just one or two. Flock them in here. So they give birth to the child, which is automatically a citizen, which is by law, technically, has not been determined by the Supreme Court. It's just nobody wants to fight it, battle it, so they kind of settle on it. But it's never a challenge, and it should be challenged. Because we are one of the very few, if not the only country that does this. It's not normal. And it's a way to destroy a country from within. It's a Trojan horse is what it is. You know, so you have the drugs, foreign nations. I'm talking about other foreign governments who want to see us destroyed. You have the cartel who doesn't care who they destroy so that as long as they make their money. Not to mention just the natural inflow of individuals that are overwhelming us, and it's unsustainable. And the Democrats who live in their gated communities, whether it's a black Maxine Walters, a brown, oh gosh, I'm trying to, Henry Cuentas out of Texas, or the white Schumer or Biden, they don't care because they're nowhere near the body of the ghetto or the trailer parks. I don't know. They have security. They have armed guards. They don't care about you, and they never have. But the story that I had come across that got all this going was the Colombian drug lord arrested after operating out of that shelter. And I hadn't even really talked about him, because does it really matter? I mean, the fact they caught him, that, I guess, Department of Homeland Security got lucky, because they caught this guy, but they claim that it's a robust security vetting. And people who are seeing these illegals come in, commit crime, rape people, murder people, they know the truth. I believe you can only crap on people for so long before those people who support you that you're crapping on finally realize this shit stinks. It's true. Not only does it stink, it infects you and kills you. Yeah. I mean, and people have died. Lake and Riley, Christopher Gadd, Elizabeth Medina. I'm getting this from a ZeroHodge.com article called, got to give some credit where it's due here. It is called, this article is called, oh no, what's this article called? Colombian drug lord arrested after operating out of Texas migrant shelter. You know, Melissa and Riordan Powell, David Hadris, Cindy Goulding, Chesson Edwards, Deborah Brando, Nazareth Tamar Clark. And there's probably been hundreds, if not thousands, of murdered, you know, since all this started back in the mid-80s. Think about that. And now it's happening exponentially. And I'm Latino. I've had Latinos tell me, you are a traitor, William, a traitor to our kind. And you know what's funny about the ones who are telling me this? They're Americanized. They don't speak Spanish. They just know they're Mexican or El Salvador or Panamanian or somewhere, but they can't tell you what part they're from. And if you ask them, have you ever visited? Well, no. Do you read, write, or speak Spanish? No. This is America, man. But yet you're trying to claim that you're more Latino than I am, who I have just checked off all the above. That's why I like to expose these people. But y'all get the point. Y'all get the point. You know, they caught this guy, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, there's others. 15-year-old illegal migrant suspected of shooting a tourist, shooting at police officers. The Colombian drug lord was a 29-year-old Derbys Perrella, one of Interpol's top 10 most wanted for operating a drug ring within a migrant shelter. That's according to the National Desk. He's second in command of a very violent Colombian gang. They say cartel. It's probably just a gang doing drugs, you know. I don't want to speak, you know, and inflate the truth, but I guess it doesn't matter. But the fact he was on Interpol's top 10 most wanted list, and he did have ties to other murders, drug trafficking. And I guess technically he is a drug lord. You know, we kind of like had this image of the drug lord in the mansion. I don't think it was that type of drug lord. But the point is, they caught him. Good. But what are the odds he gets off? Pretty good. Pretty good. People, when you vote, remember, any Democrat wants to keep the border open. They are willing to sacrifice you, black Democrat, black Latino, black whitey. And they are willing to sacrifice you because we've seen it. They're killing Americans, white, black, Asian, you name it. They've killed them. And the Democrats don't care. Why? One reason, they had the news media covering them. But just remember, they will throw you under the bus, which is a big reason why I left. That part, the plantation, why I left the plantation. All right, let's get to the next story. Teen gunman who sprayed D.C. neighborhood with 26 rounds from an AR-15 is released on bail by a self-confessed woke judge. This is by the Daily Mail. Leftist paper, leftist rag. The judge's name is Lloyd Nolan Jr. And Lloyd Nolan Jr. is willing to you, D.C., black neighborhoods. That's where the kid came from. That's where he lives. So he's firing at. He freed Amonte Moody, 18. Moody is accused, but it's pretty much a fact that he's accused of spraying a neighborhood with about 24 bullets. And the judge's own social media. He's a self-proclaimed woke judge who is still woke. See, this is the type of judge that has to be impeached. And he himself needs to be charged for an abuse of power. Again, this is directly towards you, black America. He's letting a kid who has no qualms in murdering others back into your neighborhoods. You know, when stop, question, and frisk was happening in New York City, the people in those neighborhoods loved it because it was working. The ones who did it, and the lower court did rule it unconstitutional, but didn't make its way to the Supreme Court, and that's where this battle needs to be fought. They loved it. You know, these are my libertarian friends are jokes, as they live in their damn freaking suburbs or penthouses or away from the ghetto barrio trailer parks. You know, them and leftists were the ones who were pissed. Damn it. They're checking my rights. My rights. Your rights. It's a neighbor here. And they're happy with it because they don't have to drop to the ground in their living room when they hear guns shattering the windows. But I get it. You're more important in your not suburban, white bread neighborhood. And I'm talking about blacks, Latinos, Asians, too. They all move into the white bread neighborhoods and suburbs because they know that's what nice housing and protected is with those elites, and they become part of the caste system. You see, people, it's not really about culture or color. It's about class. You have enough money, they'll accept you regardless of where you come from or what you look like. They may not like you, but they'll accept you. You know why? Because money talks. So this punk kid was targeting a car where there were four people. It was about 2:30 a.m. And I guess the Ring doorbell footage is what captured it. Now, a friend of mine already said, well, William, what's the harm? Nobody was killed. Nobody was killed. I'm like, nobody was killed. So he's okay with what the judge did. Think about that. A leftist. This doesn't affect. I'm like, what if somebody had been killed and been your kid? Your nice little 15-year-old child that you dearly, dearly love, and you always talk about how you dream of him doing much better than you. What if it was him? And I never get a response. Never. They kind of give me this dazed look like they're stunned. You actually went down that road? You're damn right. Because the worst scum of the world, and I do mean that, the worst scum of the world are those who are willing to let your child die and not care and actually champion the liberal or libertarian cause that says it's okay, in my eyes, for your son or daughter to die. But it happens to them, they're the first ones screaming. I had a previous fire dealt with a guest. And she was angry. Based on history and what JFK did by not sending the military over to help support the reinvasion or the invasion of Cuba. Bay of Pigs is what we know it about. She harbors ill feelings about that, but then believes that Edward Snowden is innocent. I serve. I don't care if it's one person. If what he turned over got an American killed, hammer his ass, slice him by the cojones slowly, death by a thousand cuts, bamboo under his nails, I pull his hair out one at a time. I don't care. Now, if he didn't and he exposed some stuff, God bless him, I'll be his greatest supporter. But again, I try to look at life as I would my own family. My mother taught me that. She'd be scolding me, looking at me, and I'd be going, Ken down the road, or Danny over here, they didn't get in trouble. She's like, I don't care about them, or other names. I look back at where those people are in life, dead, never achieving the potential, and I realize my mom's discipline on me was well worthwhile. So I don't look at others like the average American, because I had a mom who beat the hell out of me to teach me that. I look at him as I would look at my own child, my own family. And when you look at life that way, you tend to become more conservative. I don't want war. War is the absolute last resort. But Israel has every right to wipe the earth, or wipe Hamas off the earth after what they did October 7th. Because that is the last resort. So, back to this judge. He had a post where he said he was still woke. And another one where he says he donated to a George Soros-backed candidate. His name is Judge Lloyd U. Nolan Jr. Now, granted, he's only a magistrate judge, but he just let a potential killer back on the street. I'm also one of these guys who believe children, depending on the situation, should be looked at as adults when they do this type of stuff. And he thought about this. After the shooting, he went back, disassembled his gun. Smart kid, he knew what to do. It took several searches by the cops to find it. And this is enormous. This is just one example of the revolving door. And yet a hero who helped pedestrians, including a black man who helped him subdue the other black man, is being charged in New York City a couple years ago. And they're going to try to hammer him to the wall. In fact, even in Obama, see, Obama had people in his flock that were old school. There were older Democrats who have bought into the progressive ways, and now they're just seeing this complete tipping point we're at. And she said her name is a former chief counsel for the Maritime Administration under Hussein Obama's regime. Her name is Denise Krepp. She said, "Where are the grown-ups? Where are the real grown-ups? That kid walked out of the house, took a gun with him, shot up the neighborhood, and then calmly went back into the house," she continued. "But for the grace of God, nobody died in my neighborhood that night." So that's where she lives. We are wondering what the judge was doing. This judge needs to be impeached, removed, and then charged with the reckless endangerment of anybody, whatever they can charge him with. You know? But let's face it. Between the racist group BLM, the fascist group Antifa, Democrats don't care how many die, how many billions get destroyed, because they're never affected. So, when you vote, you are truly voting for law and order. Y tú eres Latino, Chicano, cualquier nombre te quieras llamar. If you're Latino, Chicano, Hispanic, whatever you want to call yourself, and you're voting Democrat, just realize they'll watch you die. Because in their mind, there's a dime a dozen of that guy who just died right down the road ready to come in. Think about that, my friends. Think about that. All righty. Now, you know, I wanted to talk about carpet bagging, how I still live in one of the few red districts, and how every election cycle, there's always hundreds of thousands, if not millions, wasted because carpet baggers come in to run in our district, or they try to usurp the party. It's good and bad on both sides. But at the end of the day, it does nothing but hurt the party and keeps us from having the best candidate. If candidates truly cared about the people they say they care about, I have a simple question. Why are you coming into a district that does not need your help? We don't need you to care about us. We already have our representative. We have our culture, our way of life. So why are you coming in here? And this goes back every cycle, last two cycles, you know? And I'm just sick of it. And this race, I'm just looking at, we have a great chance to take back some state seats. And here we are fighting amongst ourselves. So I'm going to find out about that. I'm going to talk to both parties. In fact, I'm trying to, I haven't tried, but I'm going to start pressing it up for them to do a debate. And get some inside juju and come back and relay that to you what I can. Now, but the Republican convention, this is a big convention for Republicans. And the Republican Party in California is a rhino party. They have a token Latina. That's right. I said token. Don't like it? Go jump in the lake. I'm Latino. Go bleep yourself. I don't care. I'm speaking the truth. She's a token Latina. Her job was one job. She was on her knees for her white master named Speaker Kevin McCarthy. You know, somebody who I helped get elected, I mean, they got themselves appointed, and then I helped make him a chair, said I was caustic. And the individual's absolutely correct. I'm caustic because I'm sick of it, and I'm going to sit there and tell you the truth. I'm you. I am not this rich. You know, I always feel uncomfortable around rich people because I came from none of that. And here they are the way – it's a feeling I get. And that'll never change. So I am caustic towards them. Robbie Blancos is what we called him in Panama. Yeah. But anyway, back to the GOP convention. So an issue facing us grassroots Republican is the speakership – the chair. We are going to lose this battle again, you know. We have a token Latina there. Right now, there's an individual who I used to respect as a bright star moving up. Black, spoke her own mind, but over the years, she's become part of the rhino process because, like the Latina, they welcome her in. She's now making money through the party or taking advantage. Nothing illegal at all like that. But I mean, she's benefiting. She's out of touch with her own people. She doesn't care. And there's a few other candidates that are similar, like-minded. The conservative candidates never have the votes. Because what happens, it's a rigged system in how they allocate delegates. And that's the battle that's happening right now, is they're trying to undercut undercut how many delegates the loser, which tends to be conservative, the rhinos always win, are able to have. And in essence, this is their movement to take control, and this party will remain a rhino party forever, at least in my lifetime. And here's the thing. I'm going to this convention, and I'm not going because I want to. It's because I have to. I need to learn, figure out what's happening to relay it back to you people. I have a big issue with grassroots. You know, I went to 3 or 4 grassroots meetings, and I found out, did you go? I didn't see you at the convention. Oh, I didn't go. And I'm like, well, you're the grassroots. You're supposed to keep these people informed. No, they're on the team of the Rhino Masters as well. Here's what happens. And that happens at the convention, too. Popular politician or powerful figure in the county party comes, shakes their hands, and that person falls in love. The grassroots all of a sudden sees that person as, they like me. I support that person. You know? And that's another reason we keep losing. You know, that's why we're going to lose this fight. There are actually a couple of people I know that are grassroots hard asses in a good way. They've actually defeated quite a few of these. So my bitterness is showing through. Hopefully they can find the numbers in a proxy war, because this is how these things are decided. They're voted on. They're voted on via proxy. Half the people don't show up. They give their proxy to somebody else. I've been the proxy for complete strangers. My contacts have just come to me saying, hey, you're a junior delegate, associate delegate, whatever they want to call me. I'm too caustic for any politician to ever make me a delegate. It's pretty much that simple. I don't hold any loyalty. I shake their hands. I meet them. I'm professional. I move on. I was that way with my instructors in the military. I was that way with my teachers in public school. It's just something that's in me. It's like, you're not my friend. You're my teacher. You have a role to perform. And I used to get irked at the suck-ups. And we all know there's always suck-ups. They tend to be progressive. But anyway, that's one of the things to look out for, is the delegate battle. I hope to talk to Aaron Parks. And I will be thinking of my old former co-host, Karen Roseberry. She lived for this. And I'm kind of ashamed of myself. She was down at San Diego a year and a half ago, a couple years ago now. Well, whenever they had the last one there, I can't remember. And she said, hey, I'm going to be here. You know, I've got a couple of hours here. Let's come on down. Let's catch up. And I just didn't want to drive all the way to San Diego. And I said, short notice. I was like, no, I can't. You know, and I regret that. But she lived for these, so I'm sure I'll think of Karen more than once. Great woman, had a chip on her shoulder, you know, and it wasn't always the best situation she would put herself in, but she was a fighter, and that's what I admired about her. She'd ask me, I go, Karen, man, you're a strong woman. You don't get it with men and strong women and other women with strong women. You know, it's like you're an outlier. But she dealt with it as best she could, and the thing I loved about Karen, she was always smiling, cheerful. She was always the glass is half full, where I have always been the glass is half empty, and I've come to understand every situation is different. So I'm either or depending on the situation. But Karen, God bless her, and I know she's with him now. That's right, I said him. She's with him now. Okay, she had a good soul and was a good person. And I'm sure she had her own issues like we all do, but God bless Karen, and I miss her as my host, and I will think about her this weekend. So, issue number 2, we need to be on the lookout for. And this is to me about honor, integrity, keeping the promises you made. The Law Cabinet Republicans, I've made political friends. And when I say political friends, if I'm not doing politics, I'm not hanging with them, seeing them, calling them, whatever. But when I'm doing politics, I'll hang out with them, talk to them, partner with them, work with them, etc. And that's how I've always treated a lot of cabinet Republicans. There's a couple of them. One I loathe now. She's a disgrace. She's just a selfie. She's in every selfie, wants to know everybody. She's running now, I think, for the NRA board. But she's actually done nothing to help bring more understanding from transgenders to conservatism and vice versa, etc. She's just a selfie person. And I just view those people useless. So, for example, I've gone to various grassroots. I want to hook up with a group that wants a battle. I ran out with a Latino group, and I love them all to death, but I've come to realize it's all about God. It's not about the political battles that affect their direct relationship to God, because we're losing this battle, and the people winning the battle will do everything, are doing everything to chastise that, to destroy that, to put us in our place. So, it's the search continues. But the point being is, we don't fight like we should. And so what with the log cabin Republicans, she never fought. She was no different than the rest of them. You know? Oof, I'm sorry. I am terribly sorry about that. So when they became an official group, you know, these subordinate groups, these associate groups, when you become one or are authorized to be one, you can only work with endorsed candidates. There's stringent rules. So I'm getting ready to start. I'm finally going to do it, is to start a local conservative club. And, you know, somebody said, well, why don't you call the Republican Party? Give them help. I go, because I want nothing to do with the Republican Party. The Republican Party has actually betrayed my community not once but twice over the last 15 years. Or 10 years. Yeah, 10 years. And screw that. I mean, I'll work with them. I like them. But stay on your side of the fence, bro. I don't need the Republican Party here. I don't. When I needed your help, the fine candidates through the Central Committee, like you're supposed to do, I got squat. They asked me, hey, we need some eyes and ears here. I'm like, what the hell? Central Committee still doesn't do squat. Anyway, back to the log cabin. So when these endorsed groups are approved, they have to follow a lot of stringent rules. One of the agreements the log cabin Republicans made with the California Republican Party to become part of the family of nonprofits or grassroots groups that helps is that the traditional marriage of a man and woman would stay intact. They would not mess with that. Well, guess what might be doing now? I don't blame them. This is the perfect time for them to make their move. You don't go into business with a group like the Log Cabin Republicans, look at their past history and see how they fight and think this wouldn't come to pass. I'm not bad-mouthing. I'm not saying anything except it's what's happened. And not with the Log Cabin Republicans, but any group. You know, what progressives do is they go, we're going to join your group. Well, I'm offended by what your group is doing. You have to change for me. Well, if you don't like this change, you can just leave. Well, go ahead and leave and start your own group. It's like a vicious circle. You know, they're ready to repeat. You know? So they want to remove the traditional marriage and from the plank. And they also want to get official California Republican Party support on their version of marriage. These are out an outline I've been given. So I don't know the details, but once I find out the details, I will come back and talk to you. And, you know, 10 years ago or a couple years ago, I wouldn't have cared. Now I do, because I see what's happening. I see the transgender getting a child, a 6-7, and transitioning them. No. And that's rooted from gay Americans, their groups. And they'll say no. And they're right. There's millions of people who are gay who want nothing to do with it. But they won't really join us in battle now, will they? So they won't do what's right. But they'll acknowledge it. So this is a battle I hope they lose, because of the theory, give a hand, they take an arm. And that's what they're doing. Hey, we'll welcome you, but here's our rules. You got to abide by them. Now they're saying your rules trigger me, so you have to change it. And then they're adding, oh, by the way, not only do your rules trigger and you have to change it, but you got to support me wanting that change out in public. And the third issue. The third issue is, it deals with John Eastman, and the Secretary of State for the Republican Party is looking to garner support for Eastman. Look, I'm not going to talk about it here, but there's voter fraud happening. They still haven't answered the questions. More and more legitimate truth is coming out. This is the voter fraud happened. And nobody's explained yet the water pipe bursting. Nobody's explained yet the illegality of the Pennsylvania legislature and the governor signing an illegal law into place because it was preceded in terms of their constitution, what they can and can't do. You know, none of this, voter fraud happens. Statistically, there is not a sum zero for that. It happens. It's been caught. It's been documented. It's never truly been studied. So what they're doing is they're putting conservatives in jail just for having a different slate of electors, which Democrats have done in the past. It's no big deal. These activist judges are the worst of the lot. They're accepting that. There's a special place in hell. In hell, and I hope they suffer for eternity if there is a hell. That's how bad they are. Their day will come. Karma will get them. You know, but they're the ones who are allowing this to happen. So the Secretary of State is looking to gain support for John Eastman. In fact, I got to buy my ticket to one dinner I always buy to support him. So I will fill you in on those stories once I find out. The California Republican Convention is in Burlingame this year. It's right outside of San Francisco, and I will be there. And I look forward to catching up with some friends, rolling my eyes at others, and shaking my head as to, oh, this is why we keep losing, man. Oh, my goodness. All righty. Is there anything else? I'm going to talk about Kathy Hochul and her racist trope that children in blacks don't even know what a computer is in deeper detail, because I've been saying this for years, and she gives the second greatest example, and I'm going to talk to the legal side in terms of how much of a clip I can show to show you Army Horowitz's phenomenal video that shows young progressives, older progressives, they think black people are just too stupid to be able to make a decision on their own, and that's why they have to do this, and that's why we can't have voter ID, because they're too stupid to know where the DMV is, they're too stupid to know how to get on the internet. And per Hochul, they're too stupid to know what a computer is. All lies, but to black America, that's how they view you. And let me give you a secret, the rest of America. My mother, that's how she was treated. It's not just black America. It's anybody they view as below them, beneath them. And I'm going to talk about that. So I'm going to avoid that one for now. But that's what's on the table. And with the voter fraud, I will talk about that in depth, too, as we get closer and closer. But these stories are anecdotal, but enough, they should be raising red flags to open an investigation. But they're not. When Steve Garvey, he won the primary, or he talked to in the primary, so he moved on. Somebody told Stanley Roberts, a new media style reporter, self-made now, he does his own thing. He talked to an individual. 9 times they tried to vote for Steve Garvey in San Mateo County. And it wasn't until their 9th time that they were able to. This is not a one-off. This has been reported thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times over the last few election cycles in various states. But they were able to vote for partial term with no issues. Oh, man. Fox News had to spend $700 million. Yeah, that was a trial I never even paid attention to, because it was one lie after another by both sides. And the end result, both sides got what they wanted. Tucker Carlson kicked off. There. Being a little bit facetious, but there's truth in that. There always is. Okay. So I'm going to talk more about that. What I want to talk a little bit about, too, my final topic. I'm at 48 minutes, so I've got a good 10 minutes to talk about this. Look. Joe Biden and Donald Trump are going to debate on CNN and ABC. Don't hate me, Trump supporters. I'm actually one of Donald Trump's most vocal supporters, but I'm a pragmatic person. I'm not afraid to tell the truth about Trump, but I'll be the first one there. Ask my partner. Early on, we used to go at it, and I was just like the little engine that could, and I was just nonstop, and it's like, boom. You know, bam, 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 and I just don't stop. And Donald Trump is a terrible, terrible debater. Malame, in 2016, yeah, when there were, what, 15 people out there, all you had to do was give one sentence, and it was always a snidey, snippy comment. It really didn't have to do with the issues. He looked great. Everybody loved him. Everybody loves the guy on the other side where the grass is always greener. But you quickly forget. When he debated Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, he was made to look the fool. And because he knew he had the election in hand, he refused and cowardly did not want to debate Ted Cruz. Now, you guys who are super Trump fans and you're cursing at me, just stop and listen to yourself. These men answer to us. He is not a god. He is not someone you should never question. He is not someone you take at gospel. He's a politician. He has had shady dealings. Look, I'm actually defending him here. When you are doing construction, that's your empire in New York City, Oh, yeah, there's no way around it. You will be dealing with mafioso-type individuals. And you got to learn how to play in the trenches. Trump is who he is. And a good debater is not one of them. Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio embarrassed him. He did not debate. Hillary Clinton, who is a terrible debater, he won those debates. But that's because he was facing a terrible debater with so much baggage. And this is where you give Trump credit. Because Hillary fights unlike other politicians, that actually suited Trump's style. Trump's not a politician. So Hillary was able to win. The Clintons were able to defeat so many opponents because they were street fighters at a time where there weren't street fighters. Well, that is what Trump is, a street fighter. So he easily went toe-to-toe with her and won. But then remember his first debate against Biden? I was embarrassed for him. And then he had the audacity to come out and say he won. I don't care about Biden. Biden's not the problem. It was Chris Wallace who was lying for Biden, not bringing up topics. Chris Wallace. Talk about a cuck. A spineless man. He's a cuck whose daddy, who didn't even like him, made his whole career. Chris Wallace, who left Fox angry, bitter, and yet had the lowest rated out of the Sunday morning shows, and that was his only gig, his only official gig. I wonder if he wears a toupee, that hair, that's bad. But he went to CNN, show me the money, show me the money, show me the money. Well, he got the money, but couldn't deliver ratings. Then he was going to be part of CNN Plus, couldn't deliver there and here, and it got canceled right as it got started. And they're not going to renew his contract, letting him go, because everywhere they've used him at CNN since has been a debacle ratings-wise. But he was shielding and protecting Biden. CNN will shield and protect Biden. Everybody remembers Sweet Candy, forget her last name, from CNN, who covers for Obama by telling a flat-out lie directed toward Romney. So, yeah, CNN will protect him. Jake Tapper and probably Aaron Burnett. I know Jake Tapper, but maybe Aaron Burnett, I'm not sure. And ABC, they'll protect him as well. Remember Martha? My boy's going to die. They're going to die. Trump's president. You dumb bleep. First of all, your boy signed up, as I did. The possibility of dying is always there. But Trump didn't get us in any new wars and negotiated to get us out of him. But it was your boy, Dementia Joe, who got 13, was it 12 or 13 Marines killed on an ill-advised exit that was made because it would look good versus the best situation in getting everybody away from Afghanistan. He didn't care. You think he cared his son died? Yeah, I'm sure he does, but he doesn't care anymore. He just uses them as a prop. I feel your pain. I feel your pain that your sons and daughters died in war. Bo didn't die in war. He died of brain cancer. But this is what Joe always does. And it's not like Bo was the nicest guy around. Look at Hunter. But the point is Trump should never have accepted this debate with no terms. He has no leverage. He's going to walk into the lion's den. And as I told you, he doesn't know how to debate very well one-on-one. That last debate with Biden was a debacle for him. He should have held out, said Joe, this is where we will debate, and given them actual neutral with a couple of pro right, and said, if you don't want to debate, then don't, because there's a whole marketing scheme you can come up with on why not to debate based on the actual debates where the progressive news media has protected the Democrat opponents. That's no longer debated or even questioned by the other side. They know that's the case. So Joe Biden would have said, no, there's part of your attack fuel, the coward. He's too dementia riddled. He knows it will be unbiased, and he can't have that. He needs bias. It's like this is low-hanging fruit. But instead, I can tell you how the legal aliens, since you're going to go with Chris Wallace here. Say Chris Wallace. Well, President Trump, that's still going through the courts, and because no decision has been made, I am not going to bring that up for any questions. Do you understand that, sir? If that's how it's going to go, based on various topics that are going to hurt him, or they're just going to flat out lie. And Trump doesn't have the ability. He's just not a good debater. It has nothing to do with anything with intelligence. A little bit of age. You just are a little bit slower in that age. And Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz proved that. Again, people, I'm not telling you anything to hurt Trump. I'm telling you this is a bad decision by him. You know? But I'm going to watch him. It's going to be a debacle. That debate's going to be a train wreck because Trump is – he won't take any crap. But the problem with Trump not taking any crap, he doesn't even allow the person to finish three words before – blah, 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 blah. And then he babbles, doesn't know what he's talking about, too. So, and RFK, there's a chance RFK can get on the stage, but there's no way that Democrat Joe Biden would have made a deal to allow RFK. You know, RFK's already stepped in it. He wants to take our guns. He started out, well, first of all, for decades, he's wanted to take our guns. Then a year ago said, it's not the right time. And now just last week or last couple of weeks, he just lied. I'm not going to take your guns. You know, he tried to play the walk the tightrope with abortion, but he's okay with a baby being minutes from being born and a doctor putting the coat hanger there and killing her. He is okay with that. I BS you not. He said it not once but twice on Sage Steele. He repeated it on Sage Steele's podcast. Check it out. Not lying. So that's going to take Democrat votes away from Biden. So there's no way to mention Joe's team, his regime, his handlers, the power behind the facade. There's no way they're going to allow that to happen. This is just simply put a bad, bad deal. And we, the country, are going to pay the price. All right, my friends. We've talked about Colombian drug lord arrested. We're going to get 10 zillion more stories like that before Election Day. This is a self-repeating story. Teen gunman who sprayed D.C. neighborhood with 26 rounds from an AR-15 released by a self-professed woke judge. Well, we see this every day. New York City, L.A., Boston, D.C., Detroit. It's everywhere. Another self-repeating story. And this one won't end until the people determine it should end. And finally, the debate, the debacle, I predict. I hope it's not, but even when things should be looking good for us, we just always figure out a way to step in it. You know? I mean, the only party that's worse than the Republican Party right now is the Libertarian Party. You know, they're the only party that's worse off than us. So, I look forward to the next Fired Up, and I don't mean to sound like such a downer, but to win, you have to understand what you're facing, and we don't seem to want to do that. So, when I get back from the California Republican Convention, I will fill you in on those three issues we talked about, as well as Kathy Hochul, and a little bit of a cultural appropriation. So, those are on topics. In the meantime, I'm debating whether to pull out my iPhone, because when the drinking gets going, it's always fun to sit there and see. I didn't know they were married to see each other. No, he's married to her. Oh, no, she's married to Oh, man. I'm just kidding. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, it's I just always assume that these type of conventions, boy, these long relationships that work in grassroots or the elitists, or not grassroots really, they are like in their 70s, you know, but all these other groups, that's when the pairing off begins. Yeah. That's the sailor in me. I don't know if that happens. But anyway, do not forget, you can catch this podcast Fired Up, as well as our other podcasts, which are political, sports, and pop culture / entertainment at grumblingsmedia.com. You can also catch them at our various social media platforms, specifically YouTube, Rumble, as well as traditional podcast outlets, Google, Apple, Pandora, and Spotify, under the profile grumblingsmedia.com. And before I let you go, one more shout out. Man, I love to support people. I'm seeing my podcast jump into the hundreds of individuals who've downloaded them or watched them. And I thank you for that. And it's going to keep growing as we grow. I'm the marketing guy, and I'm actually a marketing genius when I have time to market. That's how I built my last empire up. But thank you for the support of this podcast. And I am William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up. And until next time, my friends, I bid you adieu.